What's happening, everybody? Justin, Bridgewater's Finest on YouTube, Blockbuster underscore guy on Twitter, and welcome to the divisional round of my weekly NFL football pick show for the 2023 NFL season and postseason. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm in my getup. I'm in my garb here. I got my Packers jersey on. I got my sunglasses on. The hat is backwards and it is glorious. I look like I did in the early days of this YouTube channel because we're just, at this point, we're having fun. At this point, we are rolling, baby. The Green Bay Packers walk into Jerry's World and put a beatdown on the Dallas Cowboys that almost no one was expecting to happen. Jordan Love and the boys run into Jerry's World and get a huge win against a talented but flawed football team. That's what the Dallas Cowboys are. Talented but flawed. They don't play a flawed team this week. The team's just talented. Just talented that's on the other side. But ladies and gentlemen, nobody thought they were going to be here. Nobody thought they were going to be here. But here we are, and here they are. So let's make some magic. Divisional round. And look, I killed it. I killed it on Super Wild Card Weekend. Across the board. 5-1 straight up. Funny enough, the only game that I missed was these guys beating Dallas, because I took Dallas to beat Green Bay. That was the only game that I missed, was Dallas beating Green Bay. I was 4-2 against the spread and 4-2 on the totals. 13-5 across all picks on Super Wild Card Weekend. A heck of a way to open up the NFL playoffs for 2023. Taking a peek at the Bridgewater's Finest Pick'em Pool for season 12 of this show, I moved up 4 spots based on all that success from number 16 to number 12 in the pool. Feels pretty good about that. 1,520 confidence points now, exactly 67%, bringing in 56 of the 66 available points on Super Wildcard Weekend, almost 85%. And that was good enough, ladies and gentlemen, to win Super Wildcard Weekend in that pool. Yes, Bridgewater's Finest was the winner of Super Wildcard Weekend in my own pool. 56 out of 66 confidence points, a clip of just under 85%. Now, Marvin Pixett remains the overall leader in that pool, but now has only a 7-point lead over second place. 7-point lead, 80 points left to play for, which means the top 17 are still mathematically alive. We went from top 25 to top 17, still mathematically alive in this pool. The top 10 are within 53 points. The top 5 are within 31. Any of them, realistically, with one great week, could make a huge jump forward here. It's going to be tough from here on out, but those couple of teams that are right there at the top, those couple of teams that are still there, definitely have a shot at this thing. But look, I went up 4 spots. Anything can happen. Now, we will waste no more time, but I do want to tell you one more time, Tiki is shining based off that win for the Packers. Unbelievable. Unbelievable Super Wildcard Weekend, and it's time to do it again. Let's get into the divisional round picks for the 2023 NFL playoffs. We are going to start with the Houston Texans, who were winners over Cleveland last week. They are going to travel to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. Obviously, the Ravens coming into this game off of their bye, which they obviously earned by being the number one seed in the AFC. The Ravens, through the course of the season, plus 12 in the turnover ratio. So they really feasted by not giving up the ball a lot and generating a ton of turnovers on the defensive side. It's the kind of thing that you got to do when the games get more and more and more important, which is obviously what we're doing this time of year. Houston, for them, we talked about it last week. They were plus 10 in the regular season in terms of the turnover ratio. They were plus 2 last week against Cleveland. Now plus 12 overall on the season. A battle of two teams, both plus 12 overall in the turnover ratio. I think this is going to be maybe the single determining factor in this football game. Who turns the ball over and who doesn't? I think if you lose the turnover battle in this game, you are going to lose on the scoreboard. The other side is just too talented. As we mentioned in going into last week, CJ Stroud, no rookie quarterback has ever done the thing, has ever gone all the way and won the Super Bowl. CJ Stroud is still alive. It's a possibility. Again, only Tom Brady and Kurt Warner have won the Super Bowl in their first year as a starting quarterback. Jordan Love is still alive for that possibility. We give a couple of chest taps to that one. This is probably, aside from the Packers game, this is probably my most anticipated game of the weekend. This Houston and Baltimore game. I absolutely love it. And if you take a peek at how these teams have performed over the last 4 weeks heading into this matchup, not including, of course, games where they're sitting starters or anything like that. The Ravens, the second best offensive efficiency among all remaining playoff teams. They're scoring the most points per game over the span of the last four, you know, competitive football games, almost 420 yards of offense per game. And on the defensive side, their efficiency has been pretty darn good too, despite giving up over 385 yards per game over their last four. They're only allowing 19 points a game. So this defense, very much bend but don't break. Efficiency, number two among all the remaining playoff teams. The Houston Texans, the single most efficient offense remaining in these playoffs based on the last four games. Only 306 yards of offense per game, but scoring 29 points with that 306 yards. Massive, massive offensive efficiency. Defensively, they've been playing fairly well. Almost 18 yards, like almost an 18 efficiency score over the last four games, which is really, really good. Giving up about 320 yards, but only allowing 18 points a game. I really think the defensive side for either one of these teams, whichever defense really steps up and makes that one extra play or generates that one extra turnover, winds up being the team that wins this football game. We got LA Rabbit in the chat having a little laugh at how your boy looks here. You must be on cloud nine after that beatdown of the Cowboys. Brother, that does not even begin to describe it, my friend. That game was just like, I felt like I was in a Twilight Zone episode. Like what is even happening on my screen right now? And they just an absolute collapse by the Cowboys. And yet they're going to keep Mike McCarthy. Make it make sense. I certainly can't. In terms of this Houston-Baltimore game, I just think the Ravens are too good. I just think the Ravens have too many weapons here, even though I love this young Houston Texans team. I can't wait to see this offense get Tank Dell back for next season. Tank Dell and Nico Collins for a full season with CJ Stroud. Sign me up. That team is going to be so fun to watch. And if they can get Damian Pierce remembering how to run the football, this Houston team is going to be dangerous next year. But I think it's too much versus not enough. I do think CJ Stroud is going to have himself a really fun game and keep the Texans in this game. I just don't think they come up with the win. Let's go with the Baltimore Ravens at home to get the win over Houston. Of course, coming into the game off of their bye. Baltimore, interestingly enough, I believe 5-1, either 5-1 or 4-2 coming off of a bye week since 2019. So they've got quite a bit of success coming out of that extra week of rest. Let's take the Ravens to get the win. Against the spread, Baltimore's laying 9.5 points here, and there's some really interesting spreads this week. We'll just put it that way. 9.5 points is too many against the Texans team that's playing well defensively, playing really efficiently on the offensive side. 9.5 points here is just too many. We're going to go ahead and grab the +9.5 on the Houston Texans. Total in the game set at 43.5 points, even though I did say that I think it would be the defensive side that would make the final play and get the win here. I do have to take an over here. It's the smallest total of the week, and so much offensive firepower on both sides of this game. 43.5 just seems way low for me. I expected this somewhere in the mid to high 40s. So that's where we're going to take the game to finish in. So we're going to take the over on this one. Over 43.5 points in Houston, Baltimore. Let's go Ravens 26, Texans 20. So Ravens win. Give me the +9.5 on Houston and give me the over on the points. We got Chad. Congratulations to your cheeseheads, eh? From Chad and Regina. My Eagles choked. Boy, Chad, that was a rough game for the Eagles. Just a rough game to even reading the recap of that game or watching the highlights of that game was rough. It just felt like they just at some point this season, they just lost it. I don't know if it's coaching. I assume it's coaching, but like very talented players. And yes, I understand injuries certainly played a role, but they just felt like they just, whatever the mojo that they had, they just lost. And it's, I can't explain it. I can't come close to explaining it, but it was crazy. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Green Bay Packers traveling to San Francisco to take on the Niners. Niners, of course, coming into this game off of their bye. The one other thing I will mention about the Ravens, I mentioned that they were like 4-2 or 5-1 or whatever it was straight up coming out of a bye. Against the spread, they're like 1-5 or 1-6. So laying 9.5 points here, that doesn't make sense. Okay, Packers, Niners. Niners coming into this game, they were plus 10 in the turnover ratio on the regular season. That is obviously massive. That was among the league leaders in the NFL this season. Obviously, they're going to be very well rested, healthy, coming off of their bye, have had plenty of time to prep for Jordan Love and this dynamic Packers offense all of a sudden that we've seen here in the back half of the season that it seems like very few teams have had an answer for down the stretch. The Green Bay Packers going to come into this game on the tail end of back-to-back road games, of course, having just played on the road in Dallas last week. They're also, I'm going to give them the detriment of the short week here because they did play on Sunday, and then they're going to be playing again here on Saturday. So, you know, they've only got the 6 days of preparation from last week, so we are definitely going to go ahead and give them the detriment of the short week. Speaking of the turnover ratio, Green Bay was very, like, basically middle of the road all season long. However, they were plus 2 in that game against Dallas last week. Obviously, the two interceptions off of Dak Prescott. One almost went back for a touchdown. The other one did. So they generated points directly off of those turnovers in both occasions. They were plus 2 in that game. We certainly enjoy that from a Packer backer perspective. I talked about offensive and defensive efficiency, right? We're going to go back to this. The Green Bay Packers, among playoff teams, second most yards per game over the last four, a little over 420, second only to San Francisco. So these are the two offenses that have been moving the ball the best. And 32, almost 33 points a game over their last four games. That's second only to Baltimore among the remaining playoff teams. We certainly like to see that from an offensive perspective. Defensively, feels like Joe Barry's got the boys turned around. Over the last four games, only 325 yards per game allowed and just barely over 20 points. So this Packers defense, not the same defense that we saw earlier in the season that it felt like couldn't hold a lead. You couldn't trust them to get a stop except on third down. But third down is really, that's where the Packers defense and offense, really, the Packers have been living on third down. The Cowboys for most of the season were living on third down as well. Turns out they died. But the Packers have been living on third down all season long. But you take a look at the Niners. Interestingly enough, over their last four games, and I understand, they had a playoff spot wrapped up fairly early. Didn't have the division wrapped up early, but had a playoff spot. Then the division, then of course the number one seed. But they still had to play for those things deep into the season. Over the final four games of the regular season, the team remaining in the playoffs that has the worst defensive efficiency and the most points per game allowed over their last four games is the San Francisco 49ers. It's really, really interesting because you wouldn't expect that from this Niners team. Again, the worst defensive efficiency among all remaining playoff teams and the most points allowed among all remaining playoff teams over the previous four games. Make no mistake about it, the upset here is live. But I said it earlier. I said that last week, the Packers beat a talented but flawed team. Because that's what the Dallas Cowboys are. They're a talented team, but they're flawed. There are no flaws with the 49ers. There's no flaws on the field. There's no flaws on the sidelines. This is probably the most complete team in the entire NFL. Packers money line. I don't care. House money, we're having a good time. But that win against Dallas showed me that this Green Bay Packers team is capable of beating anyone. Flawed team? Definitely. Talented team? Absolutely. Nobody can look at the Dallas Cowboys and say that's not a talented team. Of course it is. To go into their house where they had not lost in 2 years, 16 straight, and not just beat them down, break their will on the offensive side and the defensive side. Ladies and gentlemen, the Green Bay Packers go into Levi's Stadium in the rain, because it's going to be raining this weekend, in the rain in Levi's Stadium, and Jordan Love and the boys send the Packers to the NFC title game. Packers money line. Packers beat the Niners. On the line, Niners are laying 9.5, just like Baltimore are. Either way, like, this is a hedge. Even the folks in the chat are just like, cheeseheads at plus 10. I'll take Green Bay plus 9.5. Absolutely. This is way too many points. Way too many points. And it's not disrespectful to San Francisco to say 9.5 points is too many points, because it absolutely is. Niners are only kind of 50-50 against the spread coming off the bye. Either way, this is too many points. So, plus 9.5 for sure, but I like my boys to win this game outright. Total in the game set at 50.5. This felt like a slam dunk over, because both of these teams offensively are, you know, pretty fantastic. I'm going to take the under here based on the weather, because it is going to be rainy. I do think that is going to impact the amount of scoring in the game. So I'm going to take a sneaky little under here, under 50.5 points in Green Bay, San Francisco. Let's go 24-23. Jordan Love and the boys, game-winning drive in the final 3 minutes of the game, puts the ball in the end zone. Let's see it to Christian Watson finally. I think that's the way it goes. 24-23, the Green Bay Packers upset the San Francisco 49ers and go to the NFC title game. But hey, if you don't like that, plus 9.5 points is okay too. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the road in Detroit taking on the Lions. A battle of arguably the most fun team left in the playoffs versus, I don't want to say the least fun, but like the team that is the most predicated on the defensive side of the ball. So there's not a lot of offensive fireworks in Tampa Bay Buccaneers games. we just don't see it. They've got weapons. And they definitely showed that, like, hey, Chris Godwin is still a guy in this league last week. Like, they definitely showed that. But of all the remaining playoff teams, offensively, the least interesting one is probably the Tampa Bay Bucks. And I don't mean, you know, I don't mean anything negative by that, but they're just probably the least interesting one left. So Detroit obviously gets a very emotional win at home against the Los Angeles Rams. The Lions' first home playoff win in, what, 30 years? Incredible. And to beat Matt Stafford to do it, just, you can't write that story any better. And Tampa Bay, look, absolutely throttling the Philadelphia Eagles. And Philadelphia goes from the first double-digit winning team, in the NFL this year to one and done in the playoffs. And that's how much you gotta, like, that's, you gotta stick with it. That's it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And, you know, the Eagles just simply didn't finish. But shout out to Tampa Bay, because they did. There's already quite a bit of this going on back and forth between the Lions and the Bucks. Most notably, CJ Gardner-Johnson saying, like, oh, you know, geez, if they had a real quarterback, you know, that they got a lot of weapons there. They got Mike Evans, they got Chris Godwin, they got Russell Gage. Boy, if only they had a quarterback, kind of thing. And then Baker Mayfield going, like, we love Russell Gage, but he's been injured all season. He hasn't played a single snap all season. So, like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, man. We love Russell, but he has been injured all year long. So there's some definite mouth running here and not a lot of research by CJGJ on that one. So neither one of these teams had anything of note in the turnover battle. Both of their games were clean. Detroit had none and generated none. Tampa Bay had none and generated none. But if you take a look at, again, how they've been doing over the last four, Detroit's been kind of pedestrian. Their defense, I still don't love what I'm seeing there. They're giving up the most points of any remaining playoff team over their last four games. Over 420 yards per game they're giving up defensively. The Tampa Bay Bucks are on another level on the defensive side right now. Their defensive efficiency score of 24.8, which basically means against the Tampa Bay Bucks defense, you need a quarter of the football field to generate a single point on the board. It's crazy. They're only giving up about 272 yards of offense over their last four games. And over the last four games, only allowing 11 points per game. Let me say that again. Over the last four games, the Tampa Bay Bucks are only allowing 11 points per game. Defensively, on another level. Offensively, it feels like Tampa Bay cannot move the ball. They are the least efficient offense remaining in the playoffs. They're only scoring 21 points a game over their last four, which means they're scoring the least amount of points. They're not moving the ball, just a little bit over 330 yards of offense in that same time frame. So the offensive edge here definitely goes to the Detroit Lions. Defensively, they're not even in the same category. Like, Tampa Bay is so much better on the defensive side. I feel like there is something genuinely special about this Detroit Lions team. Dan Campbell, the resurrection of Jared Goff. In a weird way, it kind of felt like Jared Goff's career was kind of heading into a bit of a tailspin, and then he goes to Detroit and he's got a whole new lease on his career. Like, it's been kind of fun to watch. It's been really excellent to see the development of guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown and the two-headed monster they've got at running back, which is so much fun to watch, of David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. Even though I am like a dedicated anti-David Montgomery guy, I can't question the talent anymore. Like, the dude is really good at what he does, and he's a touchdown vulture. He's very talented. And this Detroit Lions offense has got a lot of good things going for it, and the defense does too. That defense is developing, but I think that defense does some really good things, especially along the line of scrimmage. Given that the Tampa Bay Bucks, I kind of have to give them the detriment of the short week here, because they play on Sunday, but they've just played on Monday, so they only get 6 days worth of rest. I think I got to lean on the Lions here. It's the Lions at home. They're a much better team in their own building than they are away. But this is a very well-balanced unit in terms of their performance on the field, regardless of the situation. So I think I'm going to lean on the Lions here. Let's take Detroit at home to get the win over the Tampa Bay Bucks. Now, somebody, I believe it was Chad said it here in the chat, Detroit on the money line, only that -6.5 looks scary. So the Lions are favored by -6.5 here. This is tailor-made for a tease. That 6.5 points, I really do not like. I look at that and that really makes me nervous, because this feels like a field goal game one way or the other. And in a game that feels like a field goal game, 6.5 points is tough. I think I'm going to have to take those points on the Tampa Bay Bucks. Tampa Bay could win this game outright. No doubt in my mind they can win this game outright. But 6.5 points feels really good to take with an immaculate defense. Probably the best defense. Well, Baltimore probably have something to say about that. But one of the best defenses remaining in these playoffs. Let's take the +6.5 on the Tampa Bay Bucks, but take the Lions on the money line. Total in the game set at 48.5 points. I think I got to stay under on this one. I don't know exactly what I'm going to get from the Tampa Bay defense. I'm imagining they probably win the turnover battle in this one, which keeps this game much closer. I'm going to go like a 24-20, something like that. I think Tampa Bay is capable of scoring a couple of touchdowns in this game. So let's have them do that. But let's have Jared Goff and the boys in Detroit put enough on the board to get this win and meet the Green Bay Packers in the NFC Championship game. Who would have ever thought that? The storylines write themselves, folks. Battle for the NFC North and battle for the NFC Championship. You gotta love it. Let's take a Detroit-Green Bay NFC title game. Lions get the win 24-20 on the divisional round. Take the Lions to win straight up. Take the +6.5 on Tampa Bay and give me an under on the point total. LA Rabbit in the chat saying, my Rams got robbed. Refs finally on the Lions side for once. Puka got pass interference. I think I tend to agree with you on that. And the final game is the Kansas City Chiefs traveling to Buffalo, Highmark Stadium. Hopefully they won't have to dig it out of the snow quite as much this week to take on the Buffalo Bills. Another matchup in prime time, super important game between Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. Just how many more chapters in this story need to be written? The Kansas City Chiefs come up with a big win on Super Wild Card Weekend to move on. The Buffalo Bills, they pretty handily beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. I had the Steelers plus 10 in that game. That did not work out. But right down to like the last dying seconds of the game, I'm like, the Steelers have the ball. A touchdown means a backdoor cover. I was like, it was right there, but they just couldn't quite generate it. I thought Buffalo played a pretty darn good game. Like top to bottom, I think their offense did fairly well. I think the defense was probably the more surprising unit for me in that game. Genuinely was surprised from what I saw out of the Chiefs on the defensive side. And I can say the same about the Bills. But I mean, you know, up against Pittsburgh, it's like how much, like, boy, that Steelers offense really struggled all year long. And now apparently the popular rumor here is that the Steelers are not going to use the fifth-year option on Najee Harris, which is kind of interesting to me. But in any case, we're talking about a team that's eliminated. We're not doing that. We're focusing in here on the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. Now, in terms of the turnover ratio, Buffalo was kind of, you know, average throughout the regular season, but they were plus two in that game against the Steelers. So they could be on the upswing here on the defensive side. Kansas City was even money. They generated a turnover. They also turned the ball over once. So they were even money there. They were relatively even money through the season as well. Now, taking a peek at how they've been doing over their last four games, Buffalo basically, compared to the remaining playoff teams, basically middle of the road. Offensive efficiency has been pretty good. Defensive efficiency has been a little bit better, which is what you want to see this time of year. Especially, you want to be winning games on the defensive side. Buffalo's been scoring a decent amount too. Kansas City kind of been rough on the offense, even though I kind of feel like maybe based on last week, that's kind of upticking here a little bit. Defensively speaking, this Kansas City Chiefs team has been playing some excellent football on the defensive side. 234.5 yards per game allowed over the last four games. 234. It is the number one mark among remaining playoff teams. Like, it is massive. And that Chiefs defense has earned every little bit of that. They're only giving up about 15 points a game. So this, I think, is going to be the really, really big test here. I feel pretty confident about the idea that the Kansas City Chiefs can put up points on the Bills defense. I want to see the other way around. I want to see what this Bills offense, which has been not exactly trustworthy all season long, which, I mean, you can say the same about the Chiefs, but what they're going to be able to do against the Chiefs defense that's flying pretty high right now on the defensive line, the middle linebackers, the secondary. That Chiefs defense has been playing very, very well. I have to give Buffalo the detriment of the short week here, having, of course, played on Monday, having their game rescheduled to have to play it on Monday, of course, because of the weather. Other than the San Francisco-Green Bay game, basically all the rest of the games, weather-wise, are going to be cold, but not so much so that I think it's going to wildly impact the game. Buffalo wants this one real bad for obvious reasons. Like, Buffalo really wants this game real bad. Kansas City obviously wants it as well. Matt, the NFL fanatic, comes in here and says a really great point. Andy Reid only has won one road playoff game during his entire Chiefs tenure. Which is really, really interesting because, of course, they've been so dominant, they've basically been playing at home the whole time. One road playoff game for Andy Reid. It's going to be two. I think this Kansas City Chiefs team is finally ready to be like, oh, here comes the Chiefs of old. Like, I genuinely feel that turnaround is here. And I think we're going to see that. We're going to see more of that this coming week. I genuinely feel good about the Chiefs being able to score on the Bills. I do not feel as good about the Bills scoring on the Chiefs. Not with the way the Chiefs defense has been playing lately. There's something special cooking here. Something special going on with that Chiefs team. I think this Chiefs team can rival anybody else in the NFL across the board. And a Chiefs-Ravens AFC title game just feels right to me. So let's go ahead and take the Kansas City Chiefs to get the win in Buffalo. An upset win, mind you. Chiefs go into Highmark and beat the Bills. So, Bills right now are laying -2.5 points as a home favorite. Totally understand. And there's obviously no hedge possibility here. I'm taking the +2.5 because I like the Kansas City Chiefs to win this game outright. Total in the game set at 45.5. And like I said, I think it's going to be that Chiefs defense. A little bit of ball hawking. Some turnovers generated here. I don't trust Josh Allen to protect the football. Why would I? So let's take a defensive virtuoso performance here for the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to go like 27-14. Not that I think there's that much difference between these two teams. I just think when the turnovers start rolling, that's the kind of score that we can expect. 27-14 Kansas City. Chiefs win. Chiefs cover the +2.5 and give me the under on the points. Ladies and gentlemen, Tiki is just about ready to say goodnight, and I am as well. Thank you so much for joining me for my division round picks for 2023. I've got Green Bay, the big upset this weekend. Green Bay going into San Francisco and beating the San Francisco 49ers. I've also got the Chiefs, obviously, as I just mentioned, upsetting the Buffalo Bills. I got Baltimore beating Houston, and I have Detroit beating the Tampa Bay Bucks. Thank you so much for taking the time to watch, folks. That's it for me, Justin, Bridgewater's Finest on YouTube, Blockbuster_guy on Twitter. I'm working on the Justin and Tyler Movie Awards. They will be uploaded beginning tomorrow, I believe. Tomorrow we'll start seeing the first videos start to fly through for the Justin and Tyler Movie Awards. So stay tuned for those. Thank you so much for watching. Enjoy the games in the division round, and we'll be back for the AFC and NFC championship game previews. I think it's going to be Baltimore and Kansas City and Detroit and Green Bay.